Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4, and when you're there, of course, say go Tigers or who dat at this point, doesn't really matter, unless you're cheering for the Pelicans, we have great hope, and so we've got the hope of our city and our state. If you're there, say amen, amen. Luke chapter 4, we have learned in this series, as for me and my house, we will... Oh, you said it like it's 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock. As for me and my house, we will... Thank you. Thank you. It's a declaration. We've made that declaration, and then we've talked through how to clean out your house spiritually and get rid of the sin and the things. And we looked in the book of Acts where there were people practicing magic arts, and they not only got rid of them, they burn them, and they never went back to them. That's the way we need to be with our sin. We don't just get rid of it and go back to it over and over again. We get rid of it, and we turn and go towards Christ. And then last week, Pastor Ted talked about being full of the Holy Spirit, because if a demon is released out of a house and then they clean out the house and they go back to the house and it's empty, they're coming back with some more. And so we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Not only that, this morning, you can have a clean house. You can have a house that declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can have a house that is full of the Holy Spirit, but you have to know that there are times when all of those three things are happening, that there is still an enemy that hates your soul. And his job is to steal and kill and destroy your house. And not just your house, but your legacy and your lineage and the things that you have coming behind you. And you need to defend your house. When we were first starting our Hope Extreme / Hope Community Church way back in the day, we bought a building on Roselawn. Everybody knows where Roselawn is. If you don't, it's on the east side, so just imagine. And so we bought an old building. It was like a shed, and it was a house, like a little shotgun house. And we cleaned out the shotgun house, most like we did. We cleaned everything out. We did find drugs, interestingly enough, like a pack. You know, we threw it away, hallelujah. And so we found all kinds of things. We cleaned everything out of that building. It was terrible. It was literally a crack house. You know what I'm talking about. And so we cleaned everything out, and we began to fill up that house. We had an education center, so we bought computers in, and we eventually had a youth service, so we bought Bibles in and chairs in, and we had service. And then we thought it would be a great idea to start a church called Hope Community Church in 2010. Am I right? Yes? I don't know. And so I'm looking at Ted because my dates are always so confused. And so we sat there and we cleaned out our house and we filled up the house. And y'all, no lie, I am a cheapskate. I like the things that are cheap. I don't want to spend a lot of money. So here's what we did. We got one of those stickers. You know what I'm talking about? Those security stickers, ADT. I think that's the name of it. I actually put it on our house as a display, and it was fake, y'all. It was not real, because I didn't want to pay for security, because you know security costs a lot of money. And so we put a fake security. Now, if you do this at your house, don't tell anybody. Don't raise your hand right now, because people will know that you're lying. And so we put the fake security, and by me. And so, because Ted's like, I didn't do that. And so I was like, it's going to work. It's going to work. Hallelujah. And y'all, for years, no one broke into our house. No one broke into our building. That fake sign was working magically. And I was like, whoo, we're saving hundreds of dollars every single month, you know, because it costs to get security up in your house. And so we were sitting there, and as we progress into our building and the services are getting bigger and the work of God is getting bigger, that sign looked just a little bit smaller, and we had our first break-in. Literally, they just opened up the door, which was just like, seriously, you could just kick it in. Like, you didn't even have to, like, get out a little card and do really weird things. You just kicked it in. I don't know what they took. And I was like, man, that stinks. They stole stuff from the house of God. I was a little bit angry on the inside. And I can't believe they did this. But we were good. My fake sticker was still right there. And so we just got a better lock. And so this happened to us over and over and over again. We would close up the center at night, and we would lock the doors. And eventually, our little shotgun house had those glasses. You know I'm talking about those old-time glasses, the windows with the old-time glasses. And so they literally, like, just knocked it in, and they went through it. We know this because there was, like, blood splatter where they went in. And they went into our house and went to our refrigerator and took a six-pack of orange drink. And they, you know it's kids whenever that's happening. And so the police comes out, and they take the little, you know, I thought, oh, they're gonna find the thief. And one day, 3 years later, they call us while we're at the, you know, it kept on happening to us. One night, we have a picture of the old building. We got a phone call at 10 at night. Ted had lost his job that day. We had lost our adoption agency. And someone calls us at 10 at night and says, Tara, a car had a police chase, and they just went through your building. I thought they were exaggerating. We show up at 10 o'clock at night, and that's what we come to. And I looked at it, and the police stayed there until about 12, 1 at night, and they said, see you later. And Ted and I are looking at a hole where someone had came in to take everything. They just robbed that car right through our building. And I remember being so devastated, and Ted went go and grab some, like, plywood, to cover up the hole so that we don't get robbed even more and even more. And you know what happened is we sold that place. And the first thing that happens when we buy this church is we get real what? Security. I learned my lesson. The first thing I did was, like, that sign is not fake outside the building. We got protection. We got video cameras that are taken all over. We got a little drawer that comes on top of the door just so that no one gets in, because I learned that it was important to defend your house. This morning, as we look at the Bible in Luke chapter 4, you have to know that the attack is coming. You must prepare. You have to get better help, and you have to say, this is my house, and I must defend it. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, we're going to start with the scriptures. Now, Jesus is in this example. Jesus is clean. Jesus is also full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Luke chapter 3, Jesus was even baptized. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, if you look up there for a minute, it says, now when all the people were baptized, somebody say baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, somebody say baptized, and he was praying, and the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. So it came in bodily form, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is full of the Spirit. Jesus already had a clean house. Jesus had already declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it says, and God says, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. So let's start in chapter 4 in verse 1. It says this, and Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. It says that he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Now, we should be full of the Holy Spirit, but we also need to be a people that are led by the Spirit. And Jesus is not only just full of the Holy Spirit, the Lord leads him not to a place of glory yet, not to a place of sitting at the right hand of God the Father yet. The Lord leads him to a place where he is going to have to defend his house. See, sometimes when we're doing all the right things, see, we think if we do all the wrong things, well, then that's whenever our lives fall apart. And a lot of times that's true. But sometimes you can be doing all the right things. You could be showing up faithfully. You could be studying the Word of God. You could be having all of the right things happening in your life. And the Lord, although you are full of the Holy Spirit, he will lead you, look where he leads Jesus, into the wilderness. I always thought when I was a young believer that there would only be mountaintop experiences. That's not true. The Lord leads us to the mountains, but he also leads us through the wilderness. And when we're going through the wilderness seasons of our lives, and there will be some. I need to be honest with you. I cannot be someone that says you won't have wilderness, because Jesus had wilderness. And though he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was being led by the Holy Spirit, he still had to go through the wilderness seasons. Look for how long the Bible says in verse 2, for 40 days, a number symbolizing testing, preparation. It was a Jewish tradition. Remember Moses on Mount Sinai. I remember Elijah's journey for 40 days. Look at it. It says in verse 2, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So far we've learned we can be full of the Holy Spirit. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. We're still going to go through wilderness seasons of our lives. They can last longer or more than around 40 days. And you can be tempted by the devil. And we will be. It says, keep on reading. It says, and he ate nothing during those days. So Jesus is fasting. He's baptized. He is full of the Spirit in bodily form. It comes down like a dove. And then the Bible says, though he was full of the Spirit, he was still getting ready for his ministry. He had not yet stepped into the full plans and purposes of his life. And the Lord sends him to this wilderness, and he ate nothing during those days. It says, and when they were ended, he was what? Well, yeah. I love this. Luke writes this, and I'm like, yeah. I get that, right? So he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, Jesus was hungry. So he had been through the wilderness season, and he was coming out of the wilderness season, and he's getting ready to step into the plans and the purpose that the Lord has for him for 3 years of ministry. He's getting ready to turn water into wine. He's going to feed 5,000. He's going to heal paralytics. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But before he gets to that position of his life, he is going to have to defend his house. And so we'll keep on reading. It says in verse 3, the devil said to him, so the Lord has a conversation with the enemy. This is how temptation works. You start having these conversations, right? Did the Lord really say? That's in Genesis. In this particular case, it says the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. So the devil knew who he was. And then he says to him to become bread, which is to become life. And he says, and Jesus answered him. And notice how he answers him. How does he combat this attack on his house? How does he combat this temptation? It says in verse 4, and Jesus answered him, it is written. Everybody say, it is written. So there we see how the attack comes. We see that even though we're full of the Spirit and that we're led by the Spirit, that even though those things are good, we can still have an attack. And Jesus has a conversation with the enemy, and the enemy comes and says to him to not live, to turn that stone into bread. And Jesus answers him in that trial, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So Jesus defends the attack of the enemy with the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, it's going to be on your screen. I want to read through it until we get into the next part of Luke. It says Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So that means that the devil has a scheme to take you down. The devil has a scheme to break into your house. Good, he sees a clean house. Good, he sees a house full of the Holy Spirit. But he's not done yet. He still has a scheme. And I want to tell you this morning, the scheme for me is a different scheme for you, because he knows your proclivities. He knows the things that you came out of and how he can draw you back into them. He knows the addiction that you came out of and that he wants to put you you back into, or your family lineage, or your genealogy. And his scheme this morning is to come against the man or the woman of God. In verse 12 in Ephesians, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So stop fighting each other and fight the enemy. Stop fighting your husband. Stop fighting your wife and fight the enemy. Stop fighting against your kids or your siblings or your sisters. I'm speaking to someone. Stop doing that kind of fighting and fight against the enemy. In verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." That's not your attack this morning. That's not the way that we go against this war. It says, "But we fight against the rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness." There is a darkness. You feel that. There's a revival. You feel that. But at the same time, there is a darkness over this area or over maybe this situation. There is a darkness and rulers and authorities against the cosmic powers, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So what do? There's a battle. We need to defend our house. Look at verse 13. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." There is a more evil day coming before all of this ends well. You have to be able to stand. You have to put on the armor of God. You have to defend your house. You have to play in the game. You can't just sit on the bench and say, "That's good enough." You can't just say, "Oh, put me in, coach," whenever it's the last minute. No, the coach wants to play you now. Somebody say now. "Therefore," in verse 13, "take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." I love it, a belt. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." This is good, but I can't spend all my time here. It says, "As for your shoes, for the feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." I love that. A shield of faith. So it's darts coming, and you're pulling up the shield of faith. "And take on the helmet of salvation." And this morning, what we're preaching on is the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon. It's not a fake ADT symbol on the side of a building. The weapon that the Lord gave you is mighty this morning for pulling down strongholds. It says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Somebody say the Word of God. So Jesus is in the desert and he pulls out the weapon that he can use, which is the Word of God. Go back to Luke and look at verse 5. So we see over and over again that the weapons of our warfare, the one that we get to fight with, is not talking about someone else or bringing that to the situation. The weapon that we get to use is the sword of the Spirit, and that this morning is the Word. Somebody say the Word of God. Look at verse 5. "And the devil took him," that's Jesus. We're back into this story of temptation. It says, "And the devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." So the devil takes him high up, shows him the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, the devil said to Jesus, "For you, I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will." So the devil knew that he had a limited authority. He doesn't have all authority, because all authority belongs to Christ. But yet that wasn't right there just at that moment. And so the devil comes and says to him, "I can give you authority and I can give you glory because it was mine. And so therefore I can give it to whom I will." So basically the enemy is telling to Jesus, "I can give you the prize, but you don't have to go through the process of the cross. I can give you authority, but you don't have to go through the death. I can give you the power, but you don't have to go through the resurrection." And so skip the process and just get to the prize. Just get to all authority and all power that's going to be given to you. And he says, the enemy says, I can do it. Oh, how tempting that must have been. The easy route. The route that doesn't require you to pick up your cross daily and follow Jesus. The route that doesn't require Jesus to die on the cross. I'm sure Jesus is like, my house is clean. My house is full of the Holy Spirit. Do I have to go through the process, through the hard stuff, through the wilderness? Yes, this is a wilderness, but 3 years later, I'm going through a severe wilderness, and I'm sure there was a temptation, but Jesus, in the middle of the temptation, defended his house. Look at verse 8. It says this, and Jesus answered him again. What did he use? It is written. So he's going to defend his house, his purpose, his ministry. You ever notice that right before something is getting ready to happen, the devil will start attacking you? When Jesus is born, what does Herod do? He goes after all the newborns, two and under. Why? He wants to kill the purpose, kill the plan, kill the divinity before it even gets to a place. Jesus is in the desert, and what happens? The enemy comes to him and says, hey, I can do this. He wants to kill the purpose, kill the plan before it gets started. There will be an attack on your life, and you will have to get up and say, as a man of God or a woman of God, you have to say, Lord, I am defending my house. I am going to speak the written word. I'm going to declare. It says, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So we see this Holy Spirit rising up on the inside of him. And though they must have been tempted to do what the enemy had said and skip the process, Jesus says, no, I'm defending my house. I'm going to worship the Lord God, and him only will and shall I serve. Keep on reading this morning. Look at verse 9. So we see a progression. We see that the enemy comes in Jesus' life, and he defends with the word that you're going to be the bread. And then he says, let me give you the keys to the kingdom. Let me show you the world and give you all authority. Because Jesus was going to be the bread. Jesus is going to have all authority. And look at the last way that the enemy comes in this particular case. It says in verse 9, and he took him to Jerusalem. And he set him on the pinnacle, that's the top of the temple. Now, this temple had been rebuilt during that years of silence. And so the temple is built, and I don't know how this happened, if it was vision or teleportation, who knows. And it says to him in Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down for him. Now, interesting. Because all of a sudden, the enemy realizes where the weapon is because he uses it. He doesn't just say, let me say what I think. He actually uses the word of God. Look at it again in verse 9. It says, and he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down for him, for it is what? It is written. That's not Jesus saying that. That's the enemy saying that. So there is a very, very, very real time where people will twist the scriptures. You probably know what I'm talking about. The other day I saw a reel, and there was some lady asking for $1,000 and 330. I don't know what she was asking for. It was very, very specific because that's what the Lord had told her. And I was like, the Lord can speak to me about my giving. And so he doesn't need, you know, she had a specific number. It was a twisted scripture in a twisted way. And she was using it to promote herself and get all of this money for herself and her fame and her glory. And so the enemy takes the scriptures and he says, for it is written. Now listen to what he says. The enemy says, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Is that the scripture? Yes, it is. It's actually found in Psalm 91. So the enemy knows the word of God. So the enemy used the word of God. He actually, this would have been like one of them, probably one of the most favorite psalms of the Jewish people. They're not quite sure who wrote this psalm beside, but it was well known, and they would recite. Remember that? The Jewish, when they would learn, they would recite over and over again. So this was probably from front end to back end, one of the psalms that many, many people would know, especially Jesus, especially all of the disciples. They would have learned this scripture. They would have committed it to memory, and it was actually sort of a scripture that talks about defense and like protecting yourself and and how the Lord will protect you and how the Lord will fight for you. So the enemy uses scripture, but he uses it incorrectly, and he uses it to do something that the Lord never intended to happen. It was the true scripture, but it was in that particular case, not what needed to happen. So it says in verse 12, though the enemy came with scripture, Jesus comes back with the authoritative, full logos, the word of God from Genesis into Revelation. In verse 12, Jesus answered him and he said, it is written, it is said, you shall not put the Lord God to the test. So he fights twisted scripture with the totality of scripture. He uses all the word of God. And though it had been tempting to quit fighting, and though it would have tempted to quit defending, and I'm sure he is exhausted. Remember, he has fasted for 40 days. He decides, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to pull out the word of God. Not one time, not two times, not three times, but I am going to defend. Somebody say defend. My house. Now, in this house, he doesn't use a fake ADT sign. That's what I did. In his house, he understood that he had the authority and he had the word of God. The word of God is what fights our battles. And see, here's the thing. In my house this morning, I'm not packing because that would be a little legal, but I do have a sword. That was hidden the whole time. Hopefully it's here. My daughter hid it. It's the word of God. Now, I didn't have this at the old building. I don't know what I would have done with it. But I don't really know how to use this word, this sword. I know how to use the word. But underneath that house, the word of God is what defends you. The word of God is what protects you. The word of God is what heals you. The word of God is the weapon that the Lord has given us. Now, this is fun. Fighting's fun, especially when you start winning. And so you have a weapon. You just got to get it out this morning, and you've got to start defending your house. You've got to look at the word of God in the same way that Jesus looked at the word of God. I'm not just hiding it underneath my Afghan. I'm not just coming with a fake ADC symbol and say, okay, maybe so, maybe not. I'm just going to depend on that. No, you have a weapon this morning that you can defend your house with. So if you're going through a battle and you're going through anger, and the Bible says be angry and sin not, you can use the word of God. If you have a problem or an addiction, you can pull out the word of God. You can use it over those things that have been troubling you. If you've been anxious, the Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, you pull out the word of God. If you're struggling with being righteous, Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits and stands in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. So you begin to use the word. You use the word. You get daily in the word. I love this. Pastor Lynn wrote this to the Momentum. He said, let's make where we read the word of God, that's a normal thing in our houses. But mostly we'll pull on a TV, we'll binge watch a Netflix, we'll look at the phone and scroll through one more thing and one more thing, and the devil laughs because we don't know how to use the weapon. You don't know how to use the word of God. The word of God is the logos. Jesus in John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's the logos. That's although God is Isaiah 40 and I think verse 8, it says the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God, it stands forever. So this is the weapon that we have, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but we have to learn how to use it. That's why we come to small groups. That's why the ladies are studying the New Testament together and saying, I need to know not just a little bit. I need to know the word of God. I need to use the weapon. Put me in the game, coach. I want to take the word of God and start defending. I want to defend my house. I don't want the enemy to win over and over and over and over again. You have to be daily in the Word of God. Daily. Somebody say daily. You know, we have a Bible plan. You can play some music in the background. We have a Bible plan in your bulletin. We're going through the New Testament. We're like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sort of all the time. But I would encourage you to say that's a daily thing. Daily. You have to be daily in the Word so that in the middle of your battle, you can have a rhema word. Let me explain myself. You need to know the Logos of God, the Word of God. You need to be daily studying scriptures. You need to do that together. The Bible says to do that more and more as we see the day approaching. At the end of Acts chapter 2, you see the people in the scriptures. The Bible says the Bereans were no more noble than the others. Why? Because they were learning and defending the Word of God. They were learning how to use the weapon. Because if I'm honest this morning, I don't know how to fight with this. But I can learn. But I want to be more honest with you. I know the Word of God, and I know how to fight with the Word of God. And I'm not there yet. That's why I'm studying the scriptures with my sisters. I'm learning the Word of God daily in the Word so that in the middle of your battle, somebody say in the middle of your battle. Notice Jesus, three battles, and he knew the Word. He memorized the Word. He thought about the Word. He spoke the Word. But there is a time when you need a now word, a rhema word. There has to be like, you can read the Word and that's good and God's learning, but there's sometimes in our lives where you just need to be like Jesus and pull out, here's a now word. Here's what Jesus is saying now. Here's how the Word applies to me. A couple of years ago, many years ago, there was an attack on me personally. It was a personal attack. It was not true. And not to divulge all of the information, but someone came against my integrity. And they just sort of was talking, and an incident had happened, and we had sort of verified everything and what had happened and everything, and just did all the right things. And I was sitting there and just, you're not a big deal. And about a week later, all of a sudden, you know, some things are like not a big deal. All of a sudden, they blow up out of proportion. And so I was so surprised. I was like, Lord, I just don't even know where this is coming from. And like, I mean, just fake accusations. So we started having to sort of pull out paperwork and start showing, well, this is where it was and this is what, you know, like kind of thing. And I just remember like pulling out all these things, and this happened for like months. And like months and months of just like, just unverifiable craziness, like just an attack on my life, an attack on the ministry. We were young. We were still at the old building. And, you know, there was just, the enemy will do that. Like, he will just try to stop it before it even starts. And so there was just an attack. And I remember for several months, and we had learned the Word of God, and we knew the Word of God. And we were learning a verse with our kids' church. And we were committing that verse to memory over and over again. It was sort of in my head. But at the same time, like this disaster was happening that nobody else was aware of. And we were just praying and we were fighting and we were asking the Lord, like, can you do something? Can you come to our, you know, help us? We're in trouble. We really need God, you just to shine through. And I'll never forget this. In the middle of the night, I wake up about 2 or 3 in the morning. And that scripture, well, we had committed to memorize in kids' church was this, Psalm 3 in verse 3. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. And I'm not joking to y'all. That evening, I had woke up, my head just jolted out of bed. And the Lord spoke a word to me. He said, Tara, he said, I'm going to do that scripture in your life right now. Within the week, everything was cleaned up. Everything was cleared up. Every accusation got found out as a lie. And we just, and it, all he was a shield about me. He said, I need you to declare that. And I did. I sat up in that bed and I said, Lord, that verse is for them, but this is for now. This is my word right now. See, that's what you do when you learn the Word of God. then you start having these words from God. And we don't need to run to a prophet. Not that prophets are wrong, but you can run to the Word of God, the Logos of God. So in the moment of need, when you are going through a battle, you can stand on the Rhema, the Word of God, and say, God, I am standing on this Word. This is an application to my life. And I want to say to you this morning, God is no respecter of persons. What He can do for me, He can do for you. And He can be your shield and your glory, and He can be the one who lifts your head. But you have to know the Word of God. You have to memorize the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God. But I don't understand it. It's okay. God's going to give you understanding. It's one of the ladies in our class right now. God is blessing her with unbelievable understanding because she's committed to learning and walking in the Word of God. Read the Word tonight. Read the Word with your family. Get your kids off of the games and say, we're going to read the Word together. We're going to study the Word together. We're going to be a people, not who just clean the house, not who are just filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're going to defend ourselves against the attack of the enemy. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? This morning, this is an action sermon. You walk out of the house this morning and you could go back to your old fake ADT, fake security. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemy's not fooled. And eventually, I'm not saying today or tomorrow, but eventually an attack is coming. And it's not going to defend your house. Or you can get committed to the Word of God. You can get steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, okay, Lord, I'm committed to the Word. I might not understand it, I'm committed. God, I don't understand the scriptures. Come and learn together. You know, women and men's Bible study, they're going through Romans. Learn the Word of God. Ask God. I don't have a hunger for it. Then ask God to make you hungry for the Word of God. Just say, Lord, I just need to have a hunger again. I need to have a thirst again for the Word of God. And maybe you don't know how to use it. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to know how to use the Word of God. He gives gifts to His kids. This is a good gift. This is a good weapon. It's our weapon that we have to defend the house. Lord, I pray this morning, God, throughout this building, that we would be a people who love the Word. God, we wouldn't be a people who make excuses on why we're not reading the Word or why we're not in the Word. God, we are in a generation where the Word of God is at our fingertips. Got every study tool available at our fingertips. God, so I pray that we would be a people that study the Scriptures. Over and over again in the New Testament, we see Jesus say, do you not know the Scriptures? What's wrong? Why don't you know the Word of God? God, help us that not to be us. God, help us to start where we are, wherever that is in the room this morning, whatever that means, Lord God, but we would open up the Bible. God, we would open up the words of the Scriptures and say, yes, Lord, teach me. And we would do that daily. God, we see that in the Bible, they did that daily. God, they opened up the Scriptures daily. God, help us to do that. And then, God, I just pray for supernatural understanding, supernatural insight for us. God, supernatural comprehension, Lord, for that person in the room that said, I never understand what I'm reading. God, I pray this that when they go out and they act this out, Lord, that you will give them supernatural comprehension, that the Word of God will be illuminated for them. God, that the Scriptures would sing and shout of the glories of our God. Help us to use this as our weapon. God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Encourage you. If you don't have a Bible, the one in